Praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. This is the book of Exodus, and this is chapter 39. So let's ask the Lord to bless and quicken and anoint chapter 39. Lord God, your word is plain. It's true. Your promises are true. Your word is true. Everything about you is truth. And it's very plain. I was just telling the people, Father, that therefore, it's so plain that there's no excuse for us to not know what you say. And people can deliberately try to make believe that it's complicated, but it's not. We know what your word says, Lord, and everybody does too. If they read it, anyone can try to make anything difficult if they want to. But Lord, even we know that it takes your, that we're praying that your Spirit will open the Bible even more. We see that the letter of it looks real plain and easy to understand, but without your Spirit, it really isn't. So open it up with your Spirit, Lord. Anoint it and quicken it into our spirits to give us the spiritual energy, your power, what people call grace, your power to stand another day. That's all we need to worry about, because we don't know whether we're going to live past today or not. And so that's all we have to be concerned with. Sufficient is the evil of this day, and this is the day that we need to stand in your power, in your Spirit. Lord, and we see people all over this thing's happening in this that the devil is just raging in these last days. There's people that are sick and afflicted. Vehicles are getting in wrecks. Things are being damaged on different buildings. All sorts of things. Lord, we ask that you bind the devil. Lord, bind him in the name of Jesus. We claim, Lord, that your word is true and your promises are true. Bind the devil on earth for us, Lord, because we bind him here. And you said that you bind him from heaven, in heaven. You bind him from heaven, in heaven. And Lord, give us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding this day. And every day that we live, Lord, to know where to go and what to do. Warn us of impending danger. Tell us what to do, Father, in the name of Jesus. Tell us what to eat and what not to eat. Where to go, what to do, what to pray, for we know not what we should pray. Lord, and we give you all the glory, honor, the praise, and the thanks in Jesus' name. And everyone says, Amen.
Amen. Exodus chapter 39, King James Version, verse 1. And of the blue and purple and scarlet they made cloths of service, to do service in the holy place, and made the holy garments for Aaron, as the Lord commanded Moses. And he made the ephod of gold, blue, and purple, and scarlet, and fine twined linen.
Read my header, too.
Clothing for the priests.
Yeah, this chapter, this part of this chapter is for the clothing for the priest. So we'll continue on King James.
And they did beat the gold into thin plates and cut it into wires to work it in the blue and in the purple and in the scarlet and in the fine linen with cunning work. They made shoulder pieces for it to couple it together. By the two edges was it coupled together. And the curious girdle of his ephod that was upon it was of the same, according to the work thereof, of gold, blue, and purple, and scarlet, and fine twined linen, as the Lord commanded Moses. And they wrought onyx stones enclosed in ouches of gold, graven as signets are graven, with the names of the children of Israel. And he put them on the shoulders of the ephod, that they should be stones for a memorial to the children of Israel, as the Lord commanded Moses.
God wanted Israel to remember their history, and this could happen if they had the names of the different tribes of Israel, and it was right before them at all times. Then go ahead.
And he made the breastplate of cunning work, like the work of the ephod, of gold, blue, and purple, and scarlet, and fine twined linen. It was four square. They made the breastplate double. A span was the length thereof, and a span the breadth thereof, being doubled.
Right, doubled. This is symbolic also. It's like the New Jerusalem, symbolic of that. And it's doubled. It's a deal between God and us. Amen?
Amen.
God makes a deal and makes promises, and we have to make the deal with him and accept the covenant and make promises that we're going to do it. All right, then what?
And they set in it four rows of stones.
And the beautiful thing about it is that if we do it, well, then God is our God, and he moves for us, and he supports us, and he fights for us, and he hears and answers us, and he leads, guides, and directs us. And we're just pilgrims in this world passing through. And the pilgrims are just a few people that came across the ocean. And we're just a handful of people in this world. Even if there was a million of us, we'd be the great biggest minority there is. And we are the minority. And so there's like billions of people in the world, and we're maybe 300,000. Maybe a million. Maybe a couple of million, 2-3 million. Maybe 10 million. Or innumerable, but it's far more innumerable, those that are not of the Lord. And so the Lord says, beware of false brethren. Be careful. And be careful, because we're like little lambs among wolves. Be careful. Be led by the Spirit. What it means. Don't lean on your own understanding, because that isn't being careful. Careful is to stay in prayer. Because we're like little sheep among wolves that want to tear sheep to pieces. Be careful. And again, that means stay in the Spirit. Stay in prayer. Okay, then what?
And they set in it four rows of stones. The first row was a sardius, a topaz, and a carbuncle. This was the first row. And the second row, an emerald, a sapphire, and a diamond. And the third row, a ligure, an agate, and an amethyst. And the fourth row, a beryl, an onyx, and a jasper. They were enclosed in ouches of gold in their enclosings. Translation verses 1 through 13. Clothing for the priests. For the priests, the craftsmen made beautiful garments of blue, purple, and scarlet clothing to be worn while ministering in the holy place. This same cloth was used for Aaron's sacred garments, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Making the ephod. The ephod was made from fine linen cloth, and embroidered with gold thread and blue, purple, and scarlet yarn. A skilled craftsman made gold thread by beating gold into thin sheets and cutting it into fine strips. He then embroidered it into the linen with the blue, purple, and scarlet yarn. They made two shoulder pieces for the ephod, which were attached to its corners so it could be tied down. They also made an elaborate woven sash of the same materials: fine linen cloth, blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and gold thread, just as the Lord had commanded Moses.
The gold thread is symbolic of the Holy Spirit, that our garments have to be put together with the Holy Spirit. Because what we have is fine linen. It says we'll be dressed in white linen in the kingdom of heaven, pure white, without any sin on it. And we're woven together. It is woven together. We're woven together by the Spirit. The clothing is. because there isn't any one that will be in the kingdom of heaven that is wearing white linen that has spots all over it. You have to be perfect. And people say, no one is perfect. Yes, they are. If they're walking in the Spirit, they are. Without spot, blemish, or wrinkle. Pure, white linen, fastened together with gold, the Holy Spirit. Okay, then what?
The two onyx stones attached to the shoulder pieces of the ephod were set in gold filigree. The stones were engraved with the names of the tribes of Israel, just as initials are engraved on a seal. These stones served as reminders to the Lord concerning the people of Israel. All this was done just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Making the chest piece. The chest piece was made in the same style as the ephod, crafted from fine linen cloth and embroidered with gold thread and blue, purple, and scarlet yarn.
The blue and the purple is like symbolic of royalty, because God has made us a nation of kings and priests, and the scarlet thread, the scarlet is, and the yarn is symbolic of the blood of Jesus that makes us white as snow. Amen?
Amen.
That cleanses us from all sins. And I mentioned in the other day about how that this harlot let a scarlet thread down from her window at Jericho, and when she let the she made a deal with the two spies of the Lord that if she would hide them, well, then they would be very favorable to her when the city comes down. It just put the scarlet thread out the window, and that was symbolic. She was saved by the symbolic blood of the Lamb. Amen? Because they saw that symbol of the blood of Jesus, and that saved her and her whole family. And the Bible says that you and your house shall be saved. Amen?
Amen.
So it may look like your family will never be saved, because maybe they've done so much, but if you stay in the Lord, if you stick and stay, and really, it'll pay for it. You'll get your just reward. Amen? Your family will. At least they'll get saved. That doesn't mean they're going to stay saved, but at least they'll be saved. And God can frighten them to give them the fear of the Lord so that they'll always stay saved. Amen?
Amen.
All right, what else?
Verse 9. It was doubled over to form a pouch, 9 inches square. 4 rows of gemstones were set across it. In the first row were a red carnelian, a chrysolite, and an emerald. In the second row were a turquoise, a sapphire, and a white moonstone. In the third row were a jacinth, an agate, and an amethyst. In the fourth row were a beryl, an onyx, and a jasper. Each of the gemstones was set in gold. King James Version, verse 14. And the stones were according to the names of the children of Israel, 12 according to their names, like the engravings of a signet, every one with his name according to the 12 tribes. And they made upon the breastplate chains at the ends of wreathen work of pure gold. Translation, verse 14 and 15. The stones were engraved like a seal, each with the name of one of the 12 tribes of Israel. To attach the chest piece to the ephod, they made braided cords of pure gold. King James Version, verse 16. And they made 2 ouches of gold and 2 gold rings, and put the 2 rings in the 2 ends of the breastplate. And they put the 2 wreathen chains of gold in the 2 rings on the ends of the breastplate. And the 2 ends of the 2 wreathen chains they fastened in the two ouches, and put them on the shoulder pieces of the ephod before it. And they made two rings of gold, and put them on the two ends of the breastplate, upon the border of it, which was on the side of the ephod inward. And they made two other golden rings, and put them on the two sides of the ephod underneath, toward the forepart of it, over against the other coupling thereof, above the curious girdle of the ephod. And they did bind the breastplate by his rings unto the rings of the ephod, with a lace of blue, that it might be above the curious girdle of the ephod, and that the breastplate might not be loosed from the ephod, as the Lord commanded Moses. Translation, verse 16 through 21. They also made two gold rings, and attached them to the top corners of the chest piece. The two gold cords were put through the gold rings on the chest piece. And the ends of the cords were tied to the gold settings on the shoulder pieces of the ephod. Two more gold rings were attached to the lower inside corners of the chest piece next to the ephod. Then two gold rings were attached to the ephod near the sash. Blue cords were used to attach the bottom rings of the chest piece to the rings on the ephod. In this way, the chest piece was held securely to the ephod above the beautiful sash. All this was done just as the Lord had commanded Moses. King James Version, verse 22. And he made the robe of the ephod of woven work, all of blue. And there was an hole in the midst of the robe, as the hole of an habergeon, with a band round about the hole, that it should not rend. Translation, verse 22 and 23. Additional clothing for the priests. The robe of the ephod was woven entirely of blue yarn, with an opening for Aaron's head in the middle of it. The edge of this opening was reinforced with a woven collar, so it would not tear. King James Version, verse 24. And they made upon the hems of the robe pomegranates of blue and purple and scarlet and twined linen.
That means that the Word of God combined with the blood of Jesus and the Spirit causes people to there to be much seed. The seed is the Word of God, which is able to win a soul, to save a soul. And when it's received, and it doesn't come back void. And so this, again, is all symbolic. The blood of Jesus washes the soul. The Holy Spirit enters into the person, the Spirit, and we become kings and priests, and it's for doing the work of the Lord, sowing the seed of God into people's souls, so that they could be saved and become part of the kingdom of heaven here on earth. He said, God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If his will is being done here, people are hearing the word. They're receiving the seed, and they're receiving the water, so that they can grow up to maturity and then be reaped, and that they can bear fruit. All right, then what?
And they made bells of pure gold, and put the bells between the pomegranates upon the hem of the robe, round about between the pomegranates. A bell and a pomegranate, a bell and a pomegranate, round about the hem of the robe, to minister in, as the Lord commanded Moses. Translation, verse 24 through 26. Pomegranates were attached to the bottom edge of the robe. These were finely crafted of blue, purple, and scarlet yarn. Bells of pure gold were placed between the pomegranates along the end of the robe, with bells and pomegranates alternating all around the hem. This robe was to be worn when Moses ministered to the Lord, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. King James Version, verse 27. And they made coats of fine linen, of woven work for Aaron and for his sons, and a mitre of fine linen, and goodly bonnets of fine linen, and linen breeches of fine twined linen, and a girdle of fine twined linen, and blue and purple and scarlet, of needlework, as the Lord commanded Moses. And they made the plate of the holy crown of pure gold, and wrote upon it a writing, like to the engravings of a signet, Holiness to the Lord. And they tied unto it a lace of blue, to fasten it on high upon the mitre, as the Lord commanded Moses. Thus was all the work of the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation finished, and the children of Israel did according to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so did they. And they brought the tabernacle unto Moses, the tent, and all his furniture, his tatches, his boards, his bars, and his pillars, and his sockets, and the covering of ram skins dyed red, and the covering of badger skins, and the veil of the covering, the ark of the testimony, and the staves thereof, and the mercy seat, the table and all the vessels thereof, and the showbread, the pure candlestick with the lamps thereof, even with the lamps to be set in order, and all the vessels thereof, and the oil for light, and the golden altar, and the anointing oil, and the sweet incense, and the hanging for the tabernacle door, the brazen altar, and his grate of brass, his staves, and all his vessels, the laver and his foot, the hangings of the court, his pillars and his sockets, and the hanging for the court gate, his cords and his pins, and all the vessels of the service of the tabernacle, for the tent of the congregation, the cloths of service to do service in the holy place, and the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and for his sons, and his sons' garments, to minister in the priest's office. According to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel made all the work. And Moses did look upon all the work, and behold, they had done it as the Lord had commanded. Even so had they done it, and Moses blessed them. Translation, verse 27 through 43. Tunics were then made for Aaron and his sons from fine linen cloth. The turban, the headdresses, and the underclothes were all made of this fine linen. The sashes were made of fine linen cloth and embroidered with blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Finally, they made a sacred medallion of pure gold to be worn on the front of the turban. Using the techniques of an engraver, they inscribed it with these words, Set apart as holy to the Lord. This medallion was tied to the turban with a blue cord, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Moses inspects the work. And so at last the tabernacle was finished. The Israelites had done everything just as the Lord had commanded Moses. And they brought the entire tabernacle to Moses, the sacred bench with all its furnishings, the clasps, the frames, crossbars, posts, and bases, the layers of tanned ram skins and fine goatskin leather, the inner curtain enclosed the most holy place, the Ark of the Covenant and its carrying poles, the Ark's cover, the place of atonement, the table and all its utensils, the bread of the presence, the gold lampstands and its accessories, the lamp cups and the oil for lighting, the golden altar, the anointing oil, the fragrant incense, the curtain for the entrance of the sacred tent, the bronze altar, the bronze grating, its poles and utensils.
Now, the Lord had commanded that all these things were done, and they did them. Oh, you know, a lot of people forget what the Lord says, or this may bore you, but this shows that these people actually did the work that the Lord said to do. That made them righteous and made them perfect. The reason that people say that you can't be perfect is they know they're not keeping the commandments of the Lord, and they're not going to, and that means they're not going to be in heaven. And so if the Word of God bores you at all, you better ask the Lord to give you some fear. Because if this anything in the Bible bores you, these are instructions for our lives, for our eternal life. All right, and then what?
The large wash basin and its pedestal, the curtains for the walls of the courtyard, and bases holding them up, the curtain at the courtyard entrance, cords and tent pegs, all the articles used in the operation of the tabernacle, the beautifully crafted garments to be worn while ministering in the holy place, the holy garments for Aaron the priest and for his sons to wear while on duty. So the people of Israel followed all the Lord's instructions to Moses.
They followed all the instructions that Moses had given them, that the Lord had given Moses. All right, then what?
Moses inspected all their work and blessed them because it had been done as the Lord had commanded him.
Exactly as the Lord had commanded. All right, that was the last verse in chapter 39 of Exodus. We've got one more chapter to do, but right now let's do some commentary.
Chapter 39, verse 1 through 31. All these priestly garments were beautiful and ornate, and in very much detail, in accordance with God's instructions to Moses. One of the facts of the intricate details is that a priest was to be set apart from the rest of the congregation. He had to be holy, set apart for God.
And now, if we are going to enter into the kingdom of heaven, we are all priests. We're a nation of priests, and so we all have to be holy. Well, some people say, well, you don't have to. Then you're just eliminated yourself from being a priest and eliminated yourself from entering the kingdom of heaven. You'll either be a priest, a king, part of the nation of kings and priests, or you're not going to heaven. So you're not like one of the common people. The Lord made you part of his body if you're born again. Amen?
Amen.
So don't try to think of yourself that, or to, as me as the priest, and that you're part of the congregation. That isn't the way it works in the New Testament. All this is symbolic of one priest then, and each time a priest dies, there'd be another priest. But now we all are priests and are able to reach the throne of God boldly because of the blood of the covenant, that we've been washed in the blood and we're filled with the Spirit. And so don't, live by the Old Testament. These were just symbols of what you are now. And if you say, well, no, we're going to have one priest like the people did in the Old Testament. No, you won't, if you want to enter heaven. You yourself will be a priest with all the rest of us priests. Jesus is our high priest, and we all are fit and joined together in him by the Holy Spirit. All right, then what?
39, verse 30. The death of Christ made it possible for all believers to become, quote, a kingdom of priests, unquote, and were definitely dressed in beautiful clothing, the clothing of righteousness. 1 Peter 2:9. Quote, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
And how do we show forth his praises? People know that we're unusual. Like, there's a man that's building things for us out here, and he He says, you're not like other men. Your people are not like other men. So these guys that are working here and doing all this construction for me, for you, and your church, and for your people, and they've noticed that you're not like normal people. And this gives praises unto the Lord, all right? Because we don't join in with their stuff, their worldly stuff, all right? Because they can tell that there's a difference. We have on a different kind of clothing than they do. It isn't the way we dress outwardly, but we're dressed inside with the Spirit of the Lord, with the entire triune Godhead in us, the Spirit of the entire triune God. And that makes us, according to God, whiter than snow. Okay, then what? Now, you have people on this earth like the Pope and Cardinals. They dressed outwardly that way. Now, if I were... Now, the Pope is an actor. He brags about it. He actually had an acting school. Amen?
Amen.
He and some woman. And his greatest desire was to be an actor. Well, he's acting. And a lot of people believe his act that he's God. But he knows that that's nothing but an act. Amen? Because Amen. He puts on the royal garment, these garments that they used to put on in the Old Testament, but the Old Testament is over. Now, it's, the Lord doesn't look on the outside appearance. He looks on at us inwardly. So if a person is an actor, then it's not hard for an actor to pretend like he got shot. You know, you can, if you love watch movies before, and you see people getting shot and then they die in the movie, but all of a sudden you see them on the streets if you're in Hollywood, you know, they're walking around. That did a good job of acting. And, you know, of course, the Pope runs a lot of different hospitals, and he's in charge of everything. He's got private physicians that are Catholics, and everything they do is a big act. And what would it be for him to order the world army to bomb someplace and then get out in an outraged look on his face saying, I hate war? Huh? He's an actor. He admits it. And we have all different types of poses of him where he says, this is my meditating look. And it has a picture of it. And he says, now this is my angry look. And this is my mean look. And this is my holy look. We've got a book that says all these things in it, and you can see it. I mean, he himself says that he's an actor. So he's put everybody on a trip. How hard would it be for him to create a war over in Iraq and then say that he hates that war? And yet he's the one dictating to the different presidents and kings that go over there and kill him in the name of holiness. He's an actor. Amen?
Amen.
He brags about it. Or how hard would it be for him to, because he kisses the Quran, a lot of devoted Muslims, he said, I'm a Muslim too. Well, no, I can't. No, but I'm a Muslim too. Well, to go over there and if you really love, Allah, then get in an airplane and crash into the World Trade Center. Then he gets out on television with his acting outfit and says, that was the most atrocious thing that ever happened. And he's noted for being a homosexual and a child molester. I mean, that's documented. And also look how many priests have been pulled up, and, you know, many hundreds and hundreds of them have been caught molesting little children. But then, as an actor, he comes out and says, that is detestable, and we're going to have to do something about it. So he transfers them to Rome, and all of them have a big party behind the walls of the Vatican, and they laugh hilariously because the people say, and one of his puppets just today, Mr. Bush, goes and gives him a plaque from the United States, a presidential award, saying that he's a man of peace. Well, this is strange. All the popes in the world up to this point have stated that they hate the U.S. Constitution and that they're above the law and that they can do anything they want. This time, this guy is clams up, though. He doesn't say that. But every other pope has, and look at how things are today. They're worse than ever before, and all of his cardinals prophesied that the World Trade Center, with all these different terrorist attacks, will happen, and it changed the whole world. Amen? Amen? And the pope comes out and says, oh, it's just awful. And I'm against homosexuality, and I'm against wars, and I just wish President Bush wouldn't go over there and bomb those people. And would stay. I wish he would stay out of Iraq, because so many people have been killed there, and American boys are being killed there. Then he goes in and starts slapping his leg and telling him, "Did I do good?" The only thing that's missing with him is that he can't, come out and say, "I did all these things, and all you people believed it. Don't I deserve the Academy Award?" Amen. Mm-hmm. Well, if you were the devil, wouldn't you do the same thing?
Yeah.
Of course, I used to. I know a kid that went in. As a matter of fact, when I was a kid, I went and did something really bad, and then it was on Sunday morning, and I knew that I did something to somebody's house, and I ran to church real fast because they were in church, and I sat down and I shook hands. I was just a kid, about 11, 12 years old, and shook hands with the preacher when I was going out the door, didn't listen to anything that was being said, and smiled and says, "That was a very good sermon, sir." And I said, "Could I have some of these brochures?" And so the police came. They just figured it was me because the boy that lived in the house was a friend of mine, and he immediately thought it was me, and so did the parents, and so they just called the law on me, and I said, I was in church. See, anybody can act, amen?
Amen.
And oh, how I wanted to be recognized for my acting ability so I could have got the Academy Award. And so you can imagine how frustrated the Pope is, amen?
Amen.
Because he definitely says that I'm an actor. And I wanted to always be an actor. There's a deep burning desire in it. And he is an actor, amen?
Amen.
Now, he's dressing up like they did in the Old Testament. And the people that don't know the Bible well, he can just read from the Old Testament and say, look at, this is, I'm the priest, and more than that, I'm above the law, and no one is able to say unto me, what doest thou? So, he's playing the role of the Almighty God, because he doesn't just say he's a priest, he says he's God on earth. And people believe him. I mean, I really feel like giving him an Academy Award if I was able to give it to him. And maybe we can give him the acting award of the century, huh? Because the Bible says that it is Rome and it is this cult that is doing all the abominations on the face of this earth. And he claims to have a half a billion to a billion followers. Even presidents and kings believe him. Not really, because they go in there and slap their legs and, man, that was wonder. We really put them on a trip, didn't we? And the stupid people of the world bow down before him and kiss his ring and his feet. He's got Parkinson's disease. You can kiss his hand and feet if you could get a hold of his hand. It's shaking so much. Now, if that's God, the Almighty God here on earth, and why does he have Parkinson's disease? Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so remember, he's an actor, and we have a book right here where we could, I mean, there's many books that tell that he is. So really, I don't believe a thing he says, and I think that anyone does is a fool. Because a fool is one that says they don't believe in God. And when they believe in him, they're saying, I don't believe in God, I believe in this actor. All right, let's go on. I just had to throw that in there on this tape. Then what else?
We are to be holy and pure, committed to God in everything we do. Like the priestly garments, our actions need to reflect externally what we are on the inside, through Christ, by Christ, in the Father, in us, by the Spirit, holy and set apart unto God. 39 verse 33 through 43. The tabernacle, we can see in this chapter, was completed. They followed all of God's instructions. 39 verse 32 through 43. They had a tremendous amount of what would ordinarily be tedious work to us, but these people were endued with the Holy Spirit to make it not tedious, but a labor of love. And they were very careful to do it God's way, not their way at all. This was not done in such perfection to exalt the artists, or something that was just good enough for God, but rather it was the melting of faith, commitment to God, and perseverance to do exactly what the Lord commanded them to do. The successful building of the tabernacle was depending on the Israelites, just like it was following God's program or His instructions. This is exactly the way a successful maturity is accomplished. It must be built up on the same principle. We must follow the Lord in every detail. It's not tedious if we love the Lord. It's a labor of love.
Okay, now this book here, I just happen to have a copy of it here. You want to... This is the previews of the new papacy. The papacy. Papacy actually means women's breasts. That's what papacy means. So they call themselves the papacy. The pap or the pope. Okay, now I read some of this here. You know what to read here, don't you? This is the quote about him being an actor, and read it.
Right, it's from the woman that started the theater with him.
This is from the woman that started the theater with the Pope. The Pope was a priest, and they used to throw oily rags at him, and they had these nurseries and daycare centers in these factories in Krakow, Poland. And when, the Pope would come to visit, he was like a priest at that time. In other words, he said he was a man. And then all of a sudden he became God. Okay. Now, they throw oily rags at him when he was leaving because he was molesting their children. And I put that in one of my earlier pieces of literature. And he also mixed the cyanide gas in Krakow. Or at Auschwitz concentration camp, and that was in Poland, I believe, to gas the Jews. And then he pretends that he loves the Jews. If he loved the Jews, then why did he make the cyanide gas for IG Farben? IG Farben is the one that owns Bayer Aspirin and a lot of different well-known products like Alka-Seltzer and things like that that's on the market. Because there's so many papists in the world that they don't even pay taxes. They own Christian Brothers Wine Company. They own Seagram 7, all the liquor manufacturing companies and wine manufacturing companies and Miller High Life and all these different beer companies, and they don't pay any taxes. They make hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars every year. And who couldn't be successful if you didn't have to pay taxes? And this government is not to spend, according to the U.S. Constitution, the U.S. government is not to give any special attention to any religion. And here, President Bush went out just today or yesterday and gave the honor, the presidential honor to the Pope. The Pope also is the one that sent the militia over to David Koresh's place in Waco, a Christian, a Seventh-day Adventist, and slaughtered him there. And the people that were present, President Clinton, and the Attorney General, Janet Reno, said they took full responsibility for it, and yet They were never prosecuted. That's because they're papists. They're immune from the law here. And they say that they can do anything they want to you or anybody else. Now read this, what it says about this actor called the Pope or the Pap. Okay, go ahead.
Quote, "In the innermost part of his heart, there always has remained the love for the theater," unquote. Danuta Michalowska.
Yeah, and so they opened the theater together. Now, what does it say of these different poses of his here? There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 pictures of his different acting ability on this page. One picture says what? Under
in 1981, strong.
He shows his strong look. And it looks pretty strong. I mean, he's not a bad actor. And then what else?
In 1991, angry and rhetorical.
Yeah, he shows an angry look. Now, he came out the other day when a bunch of people were killed at a wedding overseas, and he says, he was shaking his fist and says, somebody has to take care of this. And he's probably, I don't doubt that he ordered it. And then what else? But he shows anger, like a credit, you know. It's like O.J. Simpson. He says, I didn't do it. Okay, then what?
In 1994, meditative.
So it shows a picture of him, his acting, that he's meditating. Let me see that. Oh, yeah. Okay, here it is?
Yes.
Okay, then what?
Here, above, tragic.
Okay, where's the tragic one?
Right here, got his hands over his eyes.
Oh, he's got his hands over his eyes. Oh, my God. Then what?
Below and left, perplexed.
He gives a perplexed look. Let me see that.
His hands on his cheeks.
Oh, astonished. He's astonished. Then what?
Okay, this one. His hand over his mouth.
His hand over his mouth. What is that? What's he doing here?
It said, I'm perplexed, both of these.
Perplexed. Also, he has, oh, his hand over his mouth. So he uses all these acting, his acting ability, whenever the cameras light on him. Amen? Yeah. And then he gives his Pope look when he's behind the bubble on the Popemobile, waving his hand at people who are standing out on the balcony. Oh, yay, oh, yay, oh, yay. And can anybody beat me in dominoes? All right, this book is just filled with that sort of stuff. We have books with the whole army of nuns with Nazi swastikas on there marching in Germany during World War II. The Vatican financed Adolf Hitler. And I've written all kinds of literature on this, and if you want it, just let me know, and I'll have our literature room send it to you. Okay, well, listen, that was... You may think that I got off the subject a little bit, but this man wears all these different uniforms. And I just want you to know, and he makes all these different gestures on television. When you see him, he's acting. As a matter of fact, he may be acting like he has Parkinson's disease. Yeah? You don't know with this guy, right? So anyway, that was Exodus 39, and God willing, we'll be doing chapter 40 tomorrow evening. And until then, keep thinking of these things. It's not good that we don't know who our adversary is. How can we resist the devil if we don't know where he is and who he is? Amen?
Amen.
How can we escape the Antichrist who is deceiving the very elect, if possible, in these last days, if you don't know who the varmint is. Amen?
Amen.
Well, I've been telling people who this hombre is, you know, for many years now. And it's about time that people, you know, recognize this, because God said so in his word that that's who is coming from the city of the seven mountains. And one night I sat on one of those... Seven Mountains at the Rome Hilton Hotel, eating the best lasagna I ever had in my life. It was really good. And I was thinking of those scriptures. about the seven mountains or the seven hills of Rome, right there where I was mangiare, that Italian food. It was really good. If I ever make it back to Rome, which I don't know if I will or not, but I'm going to go back there again and see if they got the same cook. All right, well, keep thinking about these things, not the lasagna, but the things in the Bible, okay? And keep looking up and think about this all day. And make we're in the last days. And, I'm trying to make it kind of like so where I'm not hammering at this guy, because I've hammered at him so long that most people would probably get bored at me exposing him and his cult and his one world government. It's all a big facade, and his media. They're all acting together. It's like a big stage. Like Shakespeare said, the world is the stage and the people on it are the actors. But these guys are, they're sinister because they act holy and they look holy if you don't know who they are and what they're up to and if you didn't know the Bible. But according to the Bible, they're the most vile, wretched people that are on the face of this earth. Now, there's a lot of laity in that cult that doesn't know what goes on in the top echelon, like Martin Luther, not Martin Luther King, but Luther, went to the Vatican from Germany. He went to Rome, and he said that it was a sewer of corruption. He'd never seen anything so corrupt in his life. And that's why he opened up his own church called the Lutheran Church. But then he got converted back to Catholicism again. And the Lutheran Church is now united with Rome again, just like so many others of the well-known denominationals. Well, praise the Lord. Keep praising the Lord. And be glad that you know these things, that you know who the enemy is. We know who God is, and we know who the enemy is. And that way we don't get deceived. Amen?
Amen.
Because the very elect would be deceived by this actor in these last days and all the actors that are acting with him, if possible. But I'm not, I thank God that I'm not deceived. Praise the Lord, and I pray that you're not either. God bless you. Praise the Lord.